It's so sweet to be here with you today. And part of the reason that I really love this practice of working with the earth element that we just did is that it can really help us find our ground. And boy, is there a lot of groundlessness right now, isn't there? It's really often been an important practice for me in times of change. And I wanted to share with you today just some reflections on practicing with change, with transition, groundlessness. And one of the things that I find so moving about what we do here in our practice is that we're coming together and we're taking part in an unbroken thread. You know, what we just did together, we just continued 2,600 years of practice, this unbroken thread of the Dharma. Every generation of practitioner going through change and groundlessness and uncertainty and finding ways to let go, finding ways to understand reality more clearly, and finding ways to wake up in the body and in the heart and in the mind. And you're part of that now. But I don't know if you've noticed, this practice is not really for the faint of heart. Pema Chodron writes, to be fully alive, fully human and completely awake is to be continually thrown out of the nest. To live fully is to be always in no man's land. To experience each moment as completely new and fresh. To live is to be willing to die over and over again. You've been thrown out of the nest a lot over these last few years, haven't we? And we see this in our practice. We see this in our lives. Time and time again, we face uncertainty. We face doubt. Those worldly winds of gain and loss, praise and blame, pleasure and pain. If we're committed to paying attention, if we're really bringing our awareness into our life, we start to see that in a lot of ways, we're just being thrown from the nest over and over and over again. Things change. You know, impermanence, one of the three characteristics of existence. Change is that fundamental in our lives. That the Buddha and his teachings outlined it as one of the core components of what it means to exist. We change. Our relationships, our jobs, our homes, our health. When we start becoming more intimate with our practice and we start paying that attention, we see that change all around us. You know, we get real cozy and nice in a good spot in our life. And something happens. Things feel solid and steady. And then they're not. And we react, sometimes in ways that aren't so skillful, sometimes in ways that are. We learn and we respond. You know, there's this concept that I've been seeing more and more talk about over these last few months, particularly about this change that we're all going through right now. The psychologist Amy Cuddy talks about pandemic flux syndrome, that it's actually a prolonged liminal state, in between state, where it's characterized by things just constantly changing around us. The conditions are shifting. There is a sense of uncertainty. There's hope, and then there's hopelessness. And that it can feel very destabilizing to move through this, that we're really all going through as a collective. And so part of the question that I've really been sitting with, I think probably many of us have, how do we find our ground when things are so constantly in flux? And how do we let that flux actually become a teacher to us rather than an enemy? You know, as things in our life change, we often begin to see that the rigid borders of who we think we are, that permanent, solid, separate self, are more porous than we thought. They're more malleable. You know, we're not who we were 2 years ago. You know, in the same way, having a baby might change our identity and our sense of self. Or changing jobs might shift the way that we understand our place in the world. You know, recovery from an illness or an injury can transform the way that we relate to our body and how we care for ourselves. Each one of these experiences is such a profound teacher on change and transition. And sometimes this kind of change and transformation, seeing that we're not actually as limited as we thought we were, can be really beautiful. We see that we're more than we thought we were. That sense of self that felt rigid suddenly becomes a little bit more boundless. We start to realize that we don't have to be that person that we thought we were. It gives us a little more freedom sometimes. And sometimes it feels painful or frightening or filled with grief to go through some big change or even a little change. You know, often whenever we're going through some kind of a flux, some kind of a transition, there's a little bit of both. We're kind of holding the grief and the excitement, the joy and the loss, the hope and the letting go. You know, no matter the change that we're experiencing in our life. And I would guess that each one of us is probably going through some kind of change right now, small or large. Whether it's something we perceive as good or bad, there's that groundlessness that can come with. In the midst of a big change, we let go of who we once were. And we find ourselves in a liminal space, a between, where we can't actually go back to the way that things were, but we also haven't found the solid ground on the other side yet. And this is a kind of a neutral zone between the old and the new, where nothing feels solid and everything can change. There's a deep, deep possibility in this liminal space. There is a place of deep letting go that is available here. And it's also a place of deep reactivity. Often when we find ourselves standing on the threshold of this liminal space, this in-between, we find ourselves between the new and the old ways of being, and our biggest fears, our traumas, our places of grasping or resistance start screaming for our attention. And it's a profound teacher. We really get to see what gets kicked up when we're in that liminal space. We might want to rip the Band-Aid off and have it be over with real fast. That might be the way that we react to it. We might dwell in the past, mull over old resentments or disappointments. We might just feel so confused. There's so many ways that we might respond. I'm in the process of moving right now, so there's a lot of groundlessness, and it feels very alive, this idea of change. And last week, my partner and I arrived at a place we were supposed to be living for 2 months as we set down roots and kind of figured out our long-term home. And I was so reliant. I was just totally grasped to the safety and the stability and the consistency of having this place for a couple months. And we got there. We walked in. And I don't know how many of you are chemically sensitive, but what we discovered when we opened the door was a wall of fragrance, like artificial chemical fragrance that was so strong, so intense, kind of like walking through one of the candle stores that they used to have in the mall. That's like, whew, oh, wow. Or the detergent section of a supermarket. And wow. Couldn't do it. It was not going to be possible. And we both actually, just from the limited exposure that we had over a couple days of trying, got pretty sick. And we realized that if we stayed in this place, that it would actually cause us physical harm. And in that moment, like Tema Chodron writes, we were just thrown clear out of the nest. We were just thrust against our will into that liminal space where the ground isn't solid. And the truth is, we were already in a liminal space, so it was kind of the liminal space within the liminal space, if we're being real about it. And in that space, so much of my conditioning and my reactivity became clear. You know, in that time period of figuring out what to do and experiencing that, like, this home was uninhabitable for us, my teenage self became very strong. You know, the one whose parents got divorced and she lost her safe home. It became really clear that there were wounds that I hadn't tended to decades ago that were suddenly revealing themselves because I was in this place of groundlessness. And so suddenly there was an invitation to reparent that part of the self that needed to know someone was going to take care of her. The part of myself that has trouble saying no also showed up. The one that fears repercussions or has a little bit of trouble setting a boundary. Loud and clear, that fear of laying down the line, saying absolutely no. And the part that gets caught in wishful thinking and delusion, it was there too. They were all invited to the party. There was a part of myself that kept saying, well, you know, maybe if we just open the windows for one more day, it'll be okay. When we find ourselves in this place of groundlessness, particularly the place of groundlessness when things feel quite uncomfortable, all of these different parts of the self that need to be known, need to be tended to, they make themselves known. And it is such a tremendous opportunity to learn. You know, that liminal space, that groundless place is a field where all of our past experiences, all of our patterns, all of our reactivity can arise and be our teacher. And ultimately, we had to let go. We had to let go of the idea of what the next 2 months was going to be like. And we had to open up into the spaciousness of not knowing, which was both exciting and terrifying and full of potential. But perhaps most importantly, I sat with the part of myself during this time that remembers how to access deep wisdom and knowing. That part that, like we practiced earlier, is in touch with that earth element. The part that trusts its connection to nature and its connection to truth. What we do when we practice. And as I sat, really hoping for a clear plan, a strategy, some way, what was actually made clear to me was just my body. I felt the sensation of burning in my skin and eyes from the chemicals that had been in that place. And when I stopped and listened to the body, the truth of the situation was totally clear. There was no question what should be done. And in that moment, part of me crossed that threshold that had been preventing me from fully standing in that truth and saying, no, this isn't okay. And it didn't matter so much what would come next, because there was this level of knowing, this level of trust that was present from turning towards the body, towards really listening deeply. Even if it was kind of scary to not know what was next. And, you know, fortunately, it all worked out really quite well. And sometimes this is all we need. The kernel of faith that comes from turning inward and really listening, really paying attention. When the Buddha was on the verge of enlightenment, he was also in this liminal space. He was standing at the threshold, about to cross into something that was powerful and significant. And Mara, the kind of trickster, tempter figure, was trying to knock him off his seat, trying to torment him with temptations and bribes and fears and threats and confusion. Because Mara knew that this liminal state was a really vulnerable and really precious space with a lot of potential. And he didn't want the Buddha to cross that threshold. So Mara, he tried and he tried and he tried. He offered the Buddha kingdoms and threatened him with violence. He showed him beautiful women and delicious food and terrifying ghosts and demons, and the Buddha wouldn't budge. It was all out of ideas. He didn't know how to knock the Buddha off the path towards enlightenment. So he attempted one last resort. You know, he pulled out the big gun, which is self-doubt. He asked the Buddha, basically, who do you think you are? What gives you the right to walk this path, to wake up? And the Buddha stopped. And he touched the earth. He placed his hand on the earth. And they say that the earth herself rose up to witness him and to affirm his belonging and his worthiness. That as a being of the earth, just like you and I, that possibility of walking the path and waking up, of finding an end to suffering, was part of his birthright. the earth can remind us that we're nature, that we're nature knowing itself. And that's something that's trustworthy. That's something that we can actually reach our hands down and touch and know. We may not be on the verge of perfect enlightenment today, but we all have the same belonging to the earth, the same potentiality to turn inward, to access our own knowing, and to be witnessed and supported by the earth anytime we find ourselves in this place of groundlessness, this place of not knowing, this place of fear. No matter how large or how small the threshold that we find ourselves today, you know, some decision in your life, some change, it's an opportunity. It's a chance for deep listening, for deep letting go. And it's a chance to let that liminal space be a teacher. When we turn towards ourselves, towards the body, earth, the information that we need is usually available. It might not be the information that we want. Might not be as specific or detailed, but it's there. We just need to recognize that we're standing in that threshold and that that liminal space is present and begin to cultivate ways to respond to it. And so, you know, each one of us in this moment, there's some place in our life. Some place in our life where we're in a bit of a between, or we know that a different future is coming, but it hasn't quite arrived yet. And there might be longing. The mind might want to fixate on the future rather than what's happening right now. But each one of us has this place of groundlessness that we can learn from. In some aspect of our life, this being with change is a deep practice, being with impermanence, being with groundlessness. The writer and poet John O'Donohue writes about this space. He writes, at any time, you can ask yourself, at which threshold am I now standing? At this time in my life, what am I leaving? Where am I about to enter? What's preventing me from crossing that next threshold? What gift would enable me to do it? He writes, a threshold is not a simple boundary. It's a frontier that divides two different territories, rhythms, atmospheres. Indeed, it's a lovely testimony to the fullness and integrity of an experience or a stage in life that it intensifies towards the end into a real frontier that cannot be crossed without the heart being passionately engaged and woken up. I want to read that sentence again because it really hits on part of why change can be so intense. The fullness and integrity of an experience or a stage of life that it intensifies towards the end into a real frontier that can't be crossed without the heart being passionately engaged and woken up. At this threshold, a great complexity of emotion comes alive. Confusion, fear, excitement, sadness, hope. This is one of the reasons that such vital crossings were always clothed in ritual. It's wise in your own life to be able to recognize and acknowledge the key thresholds, to take your time, to feel all the varieties of presence that accrue there, to listen inward with complete attention until you hear that inner voice calling you forward. The time has come to cross. I love that. Just deeply appreciating how he speaks to the gravity of change, the field of experience that opens up any time you go through a transition. The fullness and integrity of an experience or a stage of life, so much so that it intensifies towards the end into a real frontier that cannot be crossed without the heart being passionately engaged and woken up. Thank you for your kind attention. I want to open this up also now to the group. I'm curious, you know, especially thinking about this piece from John O'Donohue. I'm curious, what threshold do you find yourself standing at?
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.